And the other question that you can have is, if God is so good, why can't he just forgive everybody? I mean, when you do something wrong and you go to your mommy or daddy and say, oh, mom, dad, I'm sorry for what I did. They say, okay, son, even if you broke something very valuable, your mom and dad will say, okay, my child, don't worry, it's okay. You say, why can't God be as good as my mom or dad? But it doesn't exactly work like that, because there is a principle. God loves you more than your mom or dad, by the way. But there's a principle called the principle of justice, to be what is righteous. And to explain it to your children, for example, you're studying, like some of you older children who go to school, and supposing you're going to do a mathematics or arithmetic test in your school, maybe in third grade or something like that. And you study hard and you get most of the sums right, except maybe one of the problems was wrong, but all the others you got right. Another friend of yours, he didn't study at all. He just played the fool the whole day and didn't prepare for the exam. And he came to the examination room and got almost everything wrong. You got only one problem wrong out of 10. You got 9 of them correct. He got all 10 wrong. You're better than him, right? But supposing the teacher says, well, I'm going to be very good now to all of you, and I'm going to go full marks to you and full marks to that person. How would you feel? You got only one wrong and he gives you full marks. Okay, good. But that person got 10 wrong and he also got full marks. He put you on the same level. That is called unrighteous. It's not proper. It's not right. Any teacher who does like that will be dismissed from the school. You can't put a child who didn't bother to study and did everything wrong with another child who worked hard and tried his best. So that's why God can't just overlook. He's just. If you got something wrong, you have to say it's wrong. He can't give you 100 when you got only 9 out of 10 right. And he can't put you in the same category. And another person who got everything wrong is not in the same category. So God can't forgive. He can't forgive you. He can't forgive him because something is wrong. Then, you know, I want to tell you another truth about what we heard about substitution. That means somebody taking your place. That's what we read. Jesus took our place on the cross. We were supposed to be punished by God, but Jesus took that punishment for us. So let me use an example. Supposing one day you've done something very bad in your home, one of your children, and your whole family is going for a picnic along with others in the church, in the park. And because you did something so terribly wrong, your parents say, you have to be punished. You got to stay at home because you've done something terribly bad. You can't go for the picnic today. All the others will go. And supposing one of your brothers or sisters tells your dad and mom, dad, mom, let him go. I'll stay at home for him in his place. Wow. Would any of you do that? Such an exciting picnic. And will you miss it? Just because you love your brother or sister so much, you don't want him to suffer at home. You're willing to stay at home and let him go and enjoy the picnic? You've got to really love your brother or sister to do that. Don't you think you really love a brother or sister if you're willing to do that for your brother or sister? That is what Jesus did for us. These are little examples that show Jesus' love for us. Jesus always used stories, and we understand truth much better when we hear a story. That's why I'm using these stories, so your children can understand. Let me use one more example. There's a story of two brothers who were twins. You know what a twin is? They look exactly. Now, some twins don't look exactly alike, but this set of twins, they looked exactly alike. Nobody could distinguish between them. Even the parents were sometimes confused. And they grew up to be young 25-year-old men, and they still looked exactly alike in their face. parents had died, and these two boys lived in a house. One of them was very good, and the other was very bad. But they looked alike. One day, the bad boy, went out and had a fight with someone and took a knife and killed him. And there was blood splattered all over his shirt. And somebody called the police, and this boy came running. Before the police came, he ran away from there to his home. And since everybody knew who it was, he knew that finally the police will come to his house. So he ran to his home and he told his twin brother, "You know what I did? I killed somebody. See, my shirt is all full of blood. What shall I do? The police are definitely going to come here in another 5 minutes." You know what that older brother did? He loved him so much. He said, "Listen, my brother, I love you and I'll prove it to you today. Give me your shirt and you put mine. Nobody will be able to see whether I am you or you are me." And he took his shirt and put it on, and the police came, and there were some other witnesses, and they pointed to this older brother who had exchanged the shirt. And he said, "Yeah, he's the one. Even though he was not the one, just because he looked like the other one, he told the other one to hide somewhere. And they caught the older brother. And as he was going out, he told the police, "Just give me 1 minute. Let me go inside and come back." He went inside, closed the door, and told his younger brother, "I gave you a clean shirt. Don't dirty it a second time. This time I take your punishment." And the police took that older brother and took him to jail. This is what Jesus did for you and me. We did something wrong. And Jesus came before the Father, God the Father, and said, no, I'll take that punishment. I'll put on a shirt. And he was taken and judged. But he tells us, "I've now given you my clean shirt. Don't dirty it again. Keep your life clean." That is how God loves us, you know. To understand, the Bible sometimes speaks about God's love for us like a mother's love for a child. There's a verse in Isaiah 49, verse 15, which says, "Even a mother forgets his child, I will not forget you." The love of God is a father, but he's also like a mother. And you know, a mother loves his child so much, sometimes if a little child is sick, very badly sick, groaning in pain, the terrible inward sickness, a good mother will say, "Oh God, can you please give me that sickness and take it away from my child?" There are many mothers who I'm sure have prayed such a prayer. "Give me that sickness and don't let my child suffer." That is the love of a mother. I'm sure all of you children, your mothers loved you like that. If you were seriously sick, your mother would always pray, "Oh God, can you give me that sickness?" Of course, God can't do that, because that sickness is in that child. But Jesus did that for you and me on the cross. He told the Father, "Give me that punishment. Give me that punishment. I'll take it." And he took it. And it's like, by some miracle, the sickness of the child goes to the mother. And the mother dies and the child is healthy. Can you imagine how thankful that child will be to his mother all his life? Say, "I'm alive because my mother loved me so much, died for me." And I want to say, all of you older people and children, never forget that if there's anything good in your life, it's because Jesus loved you and took your place. Now he's given you his shirt. Don't dirty it by telling lies, by fighting, by disobeying your parents, by doing anything that hurt him. Those are the reasons why he died. Be thankful always. God bless you.